As you're being seated, you can take either your Bible or the Pew Bible and locate Genesis 2 and Mark 1. They'll also be projected on the screen. But Elizabeth Dennings, she would be a member of the church, been attending for the last 4 to 5 years, and also an art teacher at Seneca East Schools. Elizabeth Dennings, after Ash Wednesday last year, had sent me a message with this attached to the message: A Catholic's Guide to Ashes Extended Edition. And I don't know if she was trying to tell me something about my marksmanship last year or just getting a laugh out of it, but it did get a laugh out of it. And it's just different signs of the cross there and a little playful take on Ash Wednesday. My wife would say that I'm going to bust out the ruler and go the OCD version of the cross there. Some of my personal favorites, the I Priest edition is a picture of an apple there. Or the Harry Potter edition of marking on Ash Wednesday. They're just a little playful takes on certain signs and symbols of Ash Wednesday. What that picture reminded me, though, is that there's a meaning behind the markings. Some of those are playful meanings there. What we are doing on Ash Wednesday has meaning behind the marking. The picture is through the liturgy that we use on this occasion. And in just a moment, those of you that choose to do so will come forward and I will say these words over you that I always playfully say sounds a little twisted, and yet in it there's so much truth. It's either earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I won't say it like that, okay? We'll be serious in that moment. But all of that reminds us of where we came from and where we're headed. Or the other side of the liturgy is from dust you came, into dust you'll return. Two different ways of saying the same truth, and that is where we came from and what we have an opportunity for. And so as we lead into these moments of the marking, I just want to remind you of the meaning behind the mark, the meaning of those phrases and what we're really confessing. The first of those, from dust you came, reminds us of our origins. We like to know where we came from. That's why things like Ancestry.com is a multi-million dollar business, because we like to know our origins. It teaches some things about ourselves, our genetics, our backgrounds, our nationalities, our cultures. All these things are taught from our background. Christian and non-Christian alike, we've got a background that was from dust. The Bible says it this way: God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then it goes into how he created them in Genesis 2. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Jewish rabbis used to say that both of those are significant for our origin stories as human beings. Both that we're made in the image of God, and that we came from dust. Little ordinary beginnings. And those are significant for two reasons. We're both divine image bearers and dust of the earth. We've got value. We've got worth. We're made to reflect our maker. And we're ordinary. We're bottom shelf, low grade, just dust of the earth kind of beings. Both of those are needed in a proper understanding of what the human creature is. Of our worth there, and also of our ordinariness, and how God used both of those to breathe life into us. That's what the beginning of the phrase means. From dust you came reminds us of our origin stories. But then it twists to dust you'll return. From dust you came to dust you'll return. Why do we go back to dust? Well, the scripture story on that is that the paradigm back to dust is a result of death. And scripture declares that the wages of sin is death. We have something that we have to, as creatures, confront, and that is our mortality. We don't last forever. And the reason for that is found in Genesis 2, where we turned our back on the giver of life and we stared full in the face of death. Genesis 2 puts it this way: God's warning to the human creature, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And you know how the story goes. Our representatives, Adam and Eve, ate of it. And death was in their equation. And before we cast the blame just on Adam and Eve, all of us who are of age to know what's right and wrong have replicated that same decision, right? We've known some rights and we've chose the wrongs. Death is in our DNA, including in the decisions that we make.
And so we remember that on Ash Wednesday. From dust we came, and to dust we'll return. Some like to laugh at that idea. Preacher man, you still believe this prehistoric stuff that you originated from dust and that you're going to dust? And my quip back, I've said it here before, is that we can never go back in time to know our origin stories. Haven't invented the time machine, can't travel back in time yet, but we do know how all of us will end. And how all of us will end, if you've ever been by the bedside of a dying person, is there's a final exhale. And with time, they're either shoved with formaldehyde there, or they're stuffed in a box, or they're taken to an incinerator, where the same thing happens in both equations, and that is we come back to dust. Dust, ashy kind of existence. Whether that's centuries stuffed in a box, or whether that's quickened in the pace in a crematory, we are from dust, and to dust we'll return. And so if we can't go back in time, if we see the ending of all of our time as one exhale, into dust we decompose, it's not that hard for me to believe that that might have been in our conception. Made from dust in a puff of air from the divine breath would be at our beginning stories. Both of those bookend scripturally where we came from and where we're headed. From dust you came, to dust you'll return, and yet there's an invitation in those bookends. We declared on Ash Wednesday, from dust you came, to dust you'll return. Repent and believe the gospel. It's the opportunity that we have as humans to respond to the message of God. This message of God that is one of repentance and belief. Jesus would put it this way when he hit the scene at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus comes and he announces the time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins, and believe the good news. Dealing honestly with our origins as human beings, there's a need to own up that we have not always been right. We've done wrong, we've said wrong, we've thought wrong. Wrong has been in our motives, wrong has been in our movements. That's why there's a need for repentance. That's owning the wrongness, calling sin a sin, and a problem in the sight of a holy God. We repent in the season of Lent as we own up to the wrongs that we've done. But we not only own turning from a direction, we turn to a direction. It's belief. It's faith. It's the first steps in trusting and following and obeying our Maker. Both we confess to on Ash Wednesday. We repent and we believe the good news, which is another word for gospel. This message that God has given us another opportunity. God has placed forgiveness on the table for us to receive it, to accept it, to live in it. That God has marked the way forward for us by following in the footsteps of Jesus to new life, eternal life, by following God's Son, Jesus himself. That's what we remember. That's the meaning behind the marking, and that's what we choose to receive for those that choose to do so as we come forward this Ash Wednesday. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward at this time, and as they do so, I'm going to get the ashes. It's ashes and it's oil. It's to remind us of the meaning behind the marking. And as you come forward, you can come row by row or by family, I will be standing up here as the worship team plays, and I will simply look into your eyes and remind you who you are as a human being. From dust you came, and to dust you'll return. You live and you die. That's what I'm saying to your face. But in the midst of that, I'm also giving you an opportunity. Repent and believe the good news. Follow Jesus. That's where the book ends and the place of significance lies. And so as you come forward, I will mark you with that markings, including the meaning behind that marking. And I invite you in this Lenten journey, 40 days of focusing on Jesus, reminding ourselves what he did on the cross for our sin, what he's opened up through that tomb, speaking in the realm of death, defeating death, and offering us on that other side as well. It's the season we're in. It's Lent. It's time to focus on him. Amen.